Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
It is absolutely amazing to me that it is already the end of 2020. We're nearly at Christmas, and this year has been very, very interesting, to say the least. I'm sure all of you feel the same way. There's so many things that have gone on, and a lot of it has really affected the housing market and mortgage interest rates. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. The media is wrong, and they're wrong about the housing industry. I am sure that most of you have heard the media out running around saying that there's an affordability issue with housing, that somehow our housing market is there's affordability issues because of the average price of a home. And it's really discouraging, discouraging probably isn't even the right word for it, but it's very annoying that they run around and they say things like this when it's just a misrepresentation of the facts, of the numbers. And the numbers, you know, I know numbers are hard to calculate, things like that for some people, and maybe they struggle with that, but it's very, very disappointing that they're for some reason trying to run out there and destroy the housing market that we have today. The housing market is absolutely on fire. And the biggest issue in the housing market is not affordability. It's in the lack of inventory. And one of the things that the lack of inventory is creating or is causing or has caused is a situation where there's not that as many homes in the lower end. And because of low interest rates, people are able to move up and maybe purchase a little higher priced home. And so what they're claiming is an affordability issue actually is not at all an affordability issue. We have an inventory issue, and that's really about the only thing that we have. The feds have come out and they said they're going to keep mortgage rates they're going to keep their rates low. Now, when they talk about that, we're going to talk about this a little later, but when they talk about the rates that they're keeping low, it's actually a federal fund rate. We'll talk about how that affects interest rates and how that's going to affect everything, you know, in the market. But I really want to get more into this affordability myth that the media is just out there running around telling everybody you can't, you know, prices are going up. The affordability of houses has changed. So unfortunately, due to legal issues, I can't talk about interest rates specifically, but I'll do the best I can to kind of help you understand this affordability issue. Let's take a fourth quarter home in 2019. If there's an affordability issue, we're going to look at a fourth quarter home in 2019 and a fourth quarter home in 2020. We're going to use a 7% appreciation. And let's say in 2019, that home sold for $327,100. That 7% appreciation would take it to $350,000. That's a $22,900 appreciation on the house. So if you had bought the house in 2019, it's gone up $22,900 on a 7% appreciation, which is somewhat the average appreciation that we're seeing in the market today. But the difference in interest rate is almost a full percent difference in interest rate, lower today than back in 2019, December of 2019. So with the interest rate, you're going to watch, you're going to see how the interest rate actually makes such a difference in your affordability of a home. If someone then put 10% down in 2019, they would have a loan amount then of $294,400. As opposed to in 2020, they would have a loan amount of $315,000. Now, that is an increase in loan amount of $20,600. Obviously, that's a pretty big number. And so we've seen the price went up, the down payment went up a little bit, which we're going to talk about, and your loan amount went up, and it went up by $20,600. The principal and interest payment, just the principal and interest payment, because taxes and insurance are not part of this, the principal and interest payment in 2019 would be $1,363, and in 2020 would be $1,286. Okay, did you hear that? The higher loan amount, $294,400 compared to $315,000, because of the drop in interest rate, the payment actually went down by $77. See, this is why there's not an affordability issue. Even with the appreciation, because of the reduction in interest rates, the affordability of this house is actually better than it was. It's more affordable today than it was a year ago. If you take into account the mortgage insurance would be $8 higher. You take the total payment. The total payment with mortgage insurance is still $69 less. $69 less. It is more affordable. It's a number that they just kind of ignore in the media. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to talk about it. They just want to say we have an affordability issue. But the reality is we do not have an affordability issue. Now, the down payment, for 10% down, the down payment went up by $2,290. And the increase in income needed to qualify went up by $295. So this is actually one of those where the media is out running around, and I know in many areas a lot of us believe, or a lot of people believe, that the media is out giving some very, very misinformation in a lot of areas. And this is one of those. And it's one of those that I think we really need to get out there and understand, and people need to realize housing is not, there is not an affordability myth. There's not an affordability issue in housing. Housing is actually more affordable today than it was a year ago. It's actually at one of the lowest levels we've seen in 20 years because of the low interest rates. If all you do is look at what the media is looking at is the average price of a home. So when they look at when it's reported every month what the average price of a home sold was, that number has gone up. So the average price. So what is the average price of the home? What are they really looking at? That number is just the price because of the lack of inventory. There's more upper end, higher end homes, higher priced homes. Not really upper end, but higher priced homes being sold than the lower priced homes. And because of that, the median price or that price has gone up. But it is not really the price of homes has only gone up by the appreciation, which is about 7%. And because of how that is taken into account, you're actually, like I said, it's actually more affordable to buy a home today than it has been in many, many years. And it is definitely more affordable today than it was in 2019, which means we do not have an affordability issue. So when you hear the media talking about an affordability issue, don't let that stop you from going out and look at homes. If you know people who are thinking about buying a home, encourage them to go out, that there is not an affordability issue, that it's a misnomer. They're being misled by the media, and that the real thing to take away is with low, low rates, you can actually have a lower payment on a higher priced home. And that's part of what we're seeing today. We're seeing a lot of people moving up, moving into higher priced homes because they can, it makes them affordable when you have the low interest rates. So as you talk to people, as you're out there, it really does help to make sure people know that this is not accurate. The affordability of homes, it's just not accurate. So please let people know that there is not an affordability issue. It's not a problem. There's plenty of because of the low rates, you can actually afford more home than you ever could. Now, there is an inventory issue. And that's an issue that somewhat may be resolved as we go into 2021. As we get into the spring market, a lot of homes will come on the market. You know, through this time, our average turn time on a home is very, very low. It's under 2 months. And so we have a very low inventory compared to what we normally have, which is like 4.5, 5 months. We have 2 months of inventory. Actually, it's less than 2 months of inventory. So it's one of those things where it's a inventory issue. We need more houses on the market. Builders aren't building enough houses. There aren't enough existing houses out there on the market. So it's a very good time because of the appreciation. It's a great time for people who want to sell a home to sell a home. Prices are up, which is, you know, and more affordable because interest rates are down. In the upper price ranges, there tends to be a little bit more inventory, but even the upper price ranges are starting to see a lack of inventory. So it's really important that you, as you look at the market, and if you're thinking about going out there, that you realize, or you know somebody is thinking about buying a home, that they realize that there is not an affordability issue. With the low, low interest rates that we're seeing today, you can actually afford more home at a lower, it's actually a lower payment, or get the same payment and get a, you know, more expensive home. The key there is, you know, let me know. Give me a call. My name's Rick Ritma. The best way to get a hold of me is hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. I'm with Advisors Mortgage Group. And if you have questions, you want to talk about it, you know, that's just let me know. Contact me. All my information's on the website. You can email me. You can text me. Everything's right there. And we will talk about it, and we will figure out, you know, what the best options are. After the break, we're going to talk about the housing outlook for 2021.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Ritma.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it very much. You know, we want to talk about the housing outlook for 2021. But before we do that, I want to go over a little bit of what these low rates mean for anyone who has not refinanced their mortgage in the last 6 months. And, you know, really, probably since early in the year, you know, somewhere in that May timeframe, depending on what rate you ended up with, there was a time when it dropped, then it went shooting up, then it came back down. But we're actually at very, very, very low rates, some of the lowest rates we've ever seen. And a lot of people have refinanced. We've been booming, and you may have refinanced, but if you hear of anybody, or if you know somebody, or if you haven't refinanced, it's definitely a time to at least look at it. There is no, you know, there's no way I can tell you on the radio that this is the right time for you to refinance, because there's too many issues there. There's too many things we got to talk about and look at. You know, we want to see what your current rate is. We want to see how long you're going to be in your home. You know, what type of term you have, whether you want to cash out. You know, all these things matter. And then we can put together the information and look at it and try to decide, you know, give you the information so that you can decide if it makes sense to refinance. And there's a lot of savings for a lot of people out there. I've had people, I've worked through the numbers before, you know, before they refinance, and we work through those numbers, and they're looking at savings of, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars over time. One of the things about a mortgage that you have to realize, I know you do, but sometimes it doesn't actually connect. And I guess to make the point, I used to sell homes for a builder many, many years ago, and we wanted to look at putting plants in front of the models and flowers in the spring. And we were trying to decide how many flowers to put in. And is it, do you want to spend $100 for flowers, $200? How much do you want to put in? And it doesn't sound like it's that much money. You put $200 in front of a model, that's not very much. But when you're talking about 30 models or 40 models, you're talking about a tremendous amount of money. So mortgages are the same way, in that it adds up every month. So if you save, you know, even $30 a month, month in and month out, if you're there long enough, that becomes a quite large savings. Could be just a monthly savings. It may not even include what you're saving on paying that mortgage down quicker, you know, what you're saving on interest. So even that may not sound like a lot, but it can end up a lot. I just did one the other day, and it was like $130 a month in savings, which, again, $130 one time is, I mean, to me, is a pretty decent savings. But when you add in closing costs and things like that, you know, that can eat some of that away. In this case, I was able to cover all the closing costs. So the zero closing costs can save $130 a month. I mean, that's pretty significant savings. And if they're going to be there 5 years, I mean, that is very significant savings. You're talking about, what, $8,000-$9,000 in savings. So it's one of those things where if you have any, you haven't refinanced, it is definitely one of those things where you should consider it. Just go online, go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. All of my contact information's there. Give me a call, send me an email, you know, fill out the contact information there. We can talk about it. I can put together your money mortgage savings report so we can see exactly what you're going to save and see how that's going to work out for you and see if it makes sense. And you'll know what you're looking at, but we want to go through those numbers so that you can make the decision, you know, accurately and with the proper information.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
I was talking with Teresa L. Last week, and she wanted to know if it would make sense to refinance and pay off about $38,000 in non-mortgage debt. And as I went through it with her, it was amazing. I sent her the information, and she texted me back, and her text was basically, "Wow, I need to set a time. We need to get this moving, because it is amazing what you can do by paying off debt and putting into the mortgage, especially with the rates that we have today." So if you have much debt, and it could be credit card debt, it could be a car loan, it could be student loans. You know, we can run those numbers and you can see what it can actually do for you by paying off that debt, by refinancing and cashing out. So I'd recommend highly that you just go ahead, give me a call, send me an email, or fill out the contact information. Now, what are the outlooks for mortgage rates in 2021? Quite honestly, the mortgage rates and the housing outlook kind of run together, maybe because of the as low as the rates are, but historically, and I don't have any statistics for this, but historically it always seems like mortgage rates do actually affect the housing market, and so low mortgage rates tend to push the market, tend to push the keep the housing market rolling. Well, the other day the Feds came out, I think it was December 15th or 16th, I think it may have been the 16th, it was a Wednesday. They came out, they met, and they came out, and they basically said, we're going to keep the federal fund rate at zero for an extended period of time, so through 2021, even possibly through 2022. And so I normally and have gotten calls, hey, I hear they're going to keep rates low, what's going to happen, are rates going down? So I've talked about this before, but we need to talk about it again. When we talk about the federal fund rate is the rate the member banks loan each other money overnight. So it's an overnight rate, very, very short term. And the Feds set that. The Federal Reserve sets that number, and they have the ability to set that number. Now, your prime rate is 3% above that. So if you have a prime rate mortgage, let's say you have a home equity line of credit that's tied to prime, it is going to be affected by what the Federal Reserve does. If they keep it at zero and you're at prime, and prime's 3% over the federal fund rate, and it's at zero, you'd be at 3%. Today it's at 0 to 0.25, so you'd be at 3.25%. And that's what it would stay if they keep it at that number through the rest of 2021. You're going to have that rate through 2021, and or until they raise the federal fund rate. But that is the short end of the spectrum. That's an overnight rate. The mortgage rates are at the long end of the spectrum. They're on the long-term rates. So they are not that they aren't affected by the federal fund rate, but they're much more affected by a lot of other things that go on. World strife can change interest rates. Inflation is the arch enemy of mortgage bonds. So, and mortgage bonds are where our mortgage rates come out of. So if we see inflation coming in, that can really negatively affect interest rates. Anything going on in the country, you have even weather, huge storms or weather issues can create, can actually affect interest rates. political issues can affect interest rates. So all of those things can affect interest rates. So some of those things, obviously, we can't sit here and see today. In fact, there's nothing we can actually know for sure this is what's going to happen. It's just we look at it and we're estimating. We're taking what the Fed is saying. And we believe that's going to help keep mortgage rates down. But the big thing that we're watching, that one of the biggest issues that we're worried about or that could become an issue is inflation. As I said, inflation is the arch enemy of mortgage bonds. Is mortgage bonds is where mortgages are traded, and that's where our rates derive from. That's where they come from. So when we quote a rate, it's based off of a lot of calculation, but it comes out of the mortgage-backed security bond market. And that bond market, as it goes up, mortgage rates go down. As it goes down, mortgage rates go up. And if inflation kicks in, it's going to hurt bonds. And the reason it hurts bonds is bonds are a fixed rate investment. And since they're a fixed rate investment, inflation eats away at that investment. So to make the investment better, you have to raise the rate because the inflation is eating away at your return. And that's why inflation can be a huge, huge issue. But above and beyond and all part of that is Another thing that we are watching on mortgage rates is what the Feds are doing on buying mortgage-backed securities, because they've been buying about $100 billion a month in mortgage-backed securities. I think last week they bought $33 billion. That's in the range that they're buying. So $100 billion in mortgage-backed securities. And as they buy those, they buy different terms, just like you have a mortgage. So they're called coupons. And early in the year, very early last year or this year, you know, they were buying the coupons at 3.5, 3. Those were the coupons they were buying. So those were those they were buying 3 and 3.5% coupons. Interest rates are higher than that because, you know, people take cuts out of there, and that's what the net rate is to the investor. So the rates would have been higher, and then they get bought down, and that's where they end up at. Okay, so they were buying, like I said, 3 and 3.5% coupons. Well, about 2 months ago, maybe 2.5 months ago, they started buying in the 15-year. They started buying 1.5% coupons, and about a month and a half ago, they started buying 1.5 coupons on the 30-year rate. Now, why are they buying 1.5% coupons on the 30-year rate? They're doing that because they're trying to keep rates low and possibly even lower rates. It's one of the ways they can actually lower rates. So they're buying a tremendous amount of bonds. So that's what's going on right now, and that's why we feel like rates are going to stay where they're at, although inflation could be the big bugaboo that could create a problem for us, and some other things could. But if everything goes as it looks, the Federal Reserve is buying these very, very low price, low coupon bonds, which very likely could bring mortgage interest rates down, and or down or stay the same. Now, here's the thing: nobody knows, and rates don't just fall straight down, and they don't just run straight up. So you can't look at it and say, oh, I think rates are going to go down. Let's say you have a rate currently, you have a rate at, you know, over 4%, and you're looking at the new rates, or some people are even over 5% still, or, you know, and you're looking at the new rates. When you look at that, you have to look at what you're going to save, and then you have to look at the risk you're taking in the off chance that rates go low enough that you can get a little bit better rate, and you may save a little bit more money, okay, a little bit more money over time, but maybe not, because you lost the savings that during that time you didn't refinance. So if we have to look at all that so we can make that decision. We can give you the information you need to make a very good solid decision in that case, so you know what you're looking at. But as you look at rates, just know rates are extremely low. There is not that they can't go down, but there is very little chance, or there's very little room for them to go down from where they are today because they are so low. And it takes a lot now to get them to move lower. It takes a lot of movement in the market to get rates to go lower because rates are so low and they're long-term investments. So if you were lending your money to a bank, so you're putting it in a CD and they're going to give, would you put it in a 30-year CD at 2%? Because I wouldn't, because I don't want 2% over the next 30 years. So it's not, I know that at some point it's going to go up. And most investors feel that way. So they're somewhat, when they get this low, they start to hedge a little bit, and it really does make it harder for rates to go down. But let's talk about the housing outlook. We'll move on to housing outlook. You know, we talked about the mortgage rates, but let's look at the housing outlook. One of the things for housing is the age of folks when they start to buy houses, or when the biggest group hits the housing. And normally that's about 33 years. And if you look at a graph of the birth rate, you will see about 34 years ago, we spiked in the birth rate, and we kept going up for about 5 years. So the birth rate went up. We're hitting that 33 years when most of those folks, the average, starts to buy homes. So the housing market looks like it should be a very strong market for quite some time, especially through 2021. Another piece is that the age of people getting married, they're waiting longer to get married. Women, and let's just take in 2020, the average woman got married at just about 25 years old. Today it's 27.8. And a man in 2000, the average man got married about 27, and it's now 29.8. So they're waiting like 2.8 additional years to get married over what it was. Not that people don't buy homes when they're not married yet, but most homes and the moving of a home you bought before you got married, and when you get married, you know, you tend to move. So that's another very good sign that housing is going to be strong. Because, as I said, a lot of them are hitting 33. They're also now getting married. They've been at 33. They've been married, 5 years for a woman, 4 years, 3 years for a man. So those are the numbers that we're looking at. The other children drive single family living also. And of 30 to 39 year olds living in single family homes, 80% have children. So children, have a big, having kids has a big impact on housing. And when you look at baby registry, and from 2004 to today, 2004, the interest of baby registries, it was about 12.5%, and today it's about 96%. So baby registries have kicked up. And at least the search for baby registries, which you would think would have increased that birth rate, and also that should move people into buying homes. As you think about that, not only is that a, you know, you think about what did COVID do, and will the birth rate increase due to COVID and everybody being at home? You know, that could be a driver of the housing market in 2021 and 2022. Another driver, part of that COVID is, people are wanting more space and distance, and that is increased significantly over the last years, and especially over due to COVID. So there's a tremendous amount of folks moving, you know, from the inner city or from apartments. And now that, because they can't, they've been staying at home, they don't want to stay at home any longer, they're ready to move on. And so that's what they're doing. Thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it very much. You can contact me at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And listen to me next Saturday at 3:30 as I discuss, are home prices headed towards another housing bubble?